Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, for years, we've been told that reforms to sex education in Irish schools are on their way. Finally, after much consultation, the new junior cycle curriculum for social, personal and health education will be rolled out this September to first-year students at secondary schools around the country. The new curriculum was published last night, covering subjects like pornography, gender identity and sexual consent. Education Minister Norma Foley yesterday felt the need to clarify that pornography will not be shown or taught in schools. We're going to get some reaction to the document now from Tanya Ward of the Children's Rights Alliance and from Alan Hines of the Catholic Education Partnership. And you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Tanya, I might come to yourself first and your overall reaction to the syllabus.
I have to say we welcome it. I mean, it's a long time coming, and we've seen lots of surveys and consultations with young people that have really felt that the education they were getting in schools wasn't really sufficient to help them with everyday life. And I suppose another big piece coming through from the experience of young people is the real difficulties in sexual relationships and feeling that they're just not equipped to deal with what happens in everyday life. And particularly you see some of the organisations working with these young people reporting incidents where young people have experienced maybe abuse and difficulties in interpersonal relationships. And this curriculum is there, it's going to address that.
And Alan, what do you make of it, or what does the Catholic Education Partnership make of it?
Yeah, no, similarly, we'd acknowledge that RSE is badly in need of updating. The current programme's been there for about 20 years. We welcome the publication of it. We certainly think our schools will implement it and engage positively with it. As Tanya said there, I think it's very important. The NCCA did a lot of consultation with young people as part of this. And certainly while a lot of the focus has been on topics like the pornography elements or gender or consent, there's a lot more to this. And this is going to be a very important part of kind of a holistic education within schools. Young people came back, for them, emotional well-being, mental health, relationships, not just intimate relationships, but relationships with their family, with their peers, came back as key concerns to be covered in this course. And there's been a lot of good work in terms of those consultations. I would say one of the main challenges left, though, is still to assist teachers in delivering this. Back in July in 2022, the NCCA themselves testified one of the key blocks to effective teaching of SBHE and relationship sex education in schools is just that teachers need more supports, and the professionalisation of SBHE within schools is something that is still a challenge we have to meet. And I think with the publication of this curriculum, it's now incumbent upon the Minister, the Department and all the education partners to move on together to assist teachers in that, because currently it's not being properly supported.
What do you make of that, Tanya? Because I even anecdotally, I've heard from teachers that they really feel at sea with a lot of the stuff that's coming at them, particularly actually around gender issues, pronouns in classrooms, all of that. The teachers are getting very little guidance, official guidance at least, on how to deal with this, or indeed training, as Alan says.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the curriculum is building on what's there already. So particularly in terms of anti-bullying, the government had issued a circular back in 2013. And that was really asking schools to really promote protections against bullying and prevent bullying, promote respect. And that includes against young trans people as well. So some of this isn't new, but it is fair to say that, you know, when there's a big curriculum change like this, it can be very challenging for teachers if they're not given the training and the supports and the space and time to engage with this new curriculum, because there's definitely aspects of this curriculum that are new. They're not already in the programme at the moment. And the one piece that's been picked up, I think, in the media is the question around pornography, because the curriculum will ask teachers to talk to children, young people, about the influence of pornography on relationships because of the negative effect that it's having. So it's fair to say that teachers will need some very good materials and support and mentoring to be able to deal with these issues in the classroom.
Okay. Alan, in your submission to the consultation last year, you highlighted several times the role of the ethos of individual schools and what's actually taught in schools. And obviously, most schools in the country would have a Catholic ethos. So I just wonder, how does that work in practice with some of the more controversial issues? So we might start with pornography, as Tanya says, that's new. So what is the Catholic ethos of pornography, and how does that affect what is going to be taught in schools?
Well, this is a post-primary programme first. So about half the schools in post-primary level are under Catholic ethos. The rest are under other types of ethos types. The bulk of that would be the state sector. So it's just we're present in significant numbers, obviously, at post-primary, but not dominant. As I indicated, I think, in the submission, is we've no difficulty engaging with other ideas or worldviews on this. And Catholic thinking on education, certainly under Pope Francis, but previous popes as well, has moved far more towards the idea of dialogue and counter with difference, both in terms of dealing with pluralism within the schools, people come from different backgrounds, but also addressing different worldviews and different ideas and different philosophies. So what we would be encouraging our schools to do is certainly give a confident presentation on the Catholic perspective on these matters, but also to present other worldviews and to do so in a positive way, and to encourage students to critically engage with all ideas. And ultimately assist them to come to their own point of view on it.
Okay, yeah. So if we take gender then, what is the Catholic presentation that matters versus the worldview?
Well, for starters, Catholic theology hasn't maybe quite addressed, because a lot of this is quite recent.
Yeah.
So Catholic thought, though, on gender, I suppose, one, yes, the biological reality of male and female is there, but Catholicism has never held to rigid gender stereotypes in terms of male and female. And certainly over the long history of the church, many of the saints, those who we hold in very high regard, have done surprising things with respect to their gender, how they would have acted, either, you know, dressed in armour, scaling walls as a Joan of Arc, or St. Bridget of Sweden travelling the full length of Europe when it was very dangerous to do so, to correct a pope, essentially. So we've had saints do surprising things. Our thinking on gender, I suppose, is that ultimately it's part of the essential creative freedom of what it is to be human, and how people give expression to themselves and to their own personalities is part of that lively kind of co-active creation that we're engaged in. So we'll present all that. We have a unified understanding, though, of what it is to be human. There's no difference. Let's say your body and yourself are one and the same thing. So that, you know, we'd be presenting that, but we'll also be presenting the, I suppose, gender critical point of view as well. And as I said, encouraging people. Well, it's quite complicated. This is a short enough segment. Broadly, I suppose it would come down to that one's gender identity can be radically different from one's biological sex, and that in a sense that has a reality of its own, separate from the biological reality of one's body. Certainly, I think, it's an idea we can engage with, but we'd ultimately believe in the kind of unity of the human person.
So that you can't have a different gender identity to your biological sex, is it?
Yeah, but to put it hard like that is, again, to get into some idea where we've some very fixed stereotypes of gender. That isn't really how Catholic thought works. It's very difficult to maybe explain how the two ideas would combine together, but we're not really caught in that same frame of reference, shall we say, that it's currently been put into.
I understand this is a very complex subject, right? And we don't have a huge amount of time, as you say. I suppose what I'm trying to figure out is, will what people or children are being taught in Catholic post-primary schools under the Catholic ethos differ to what they are also being taught in the curriculum? Will they be given the two different viewpoints, I suppose?
Absolutely.
And the Catholic, from what you're saying, the Catholic ethos or the Catholic teaching on gender, for example, is likely to teach that I'm not entirely sure exactly what it is likely to teach from you've said, actually.
Fundamentally, in our schools, our basic starting point with everybody is the essential dignity of each individual person. So we have obviously encountered pupils who are going through gender questioning within our schools. We treat them with support. We treat them with, respect and the dignity that is essential to them. That underlines absolutely everything we do. And that is where, can I just say also, apologies now, a lot of the talk on this has been very adult concerns. So the younger people who engage with the NCCA, while pornography has dominated the kind of media concern with this, and even Morning Ireland this morning kind of, again, was part of the sensationalisation of that topic, and gender and consent have kind of come in. as I mentioned at the start, young people themselves had a different set of concerns, and this is a very broad programme.
We've narrowed down
the programme to some very, very narrow areas. I suppose these are
the points of contention for a lot of people, and these are the points that people maybe have concerns about. I just want to get Tanya back into the conversation, actually. And I'm just interested, Tanya, in what you've heard there, because I think Alan is trying his best to explain what will be taught to children in Catholic schools. But it sounds like there will be two different viewpoints then taught. There'll be the Catholic viewpoint and there will be the curriculum viewpoint.
Yeah, I suppose it's one of the things about our education system, like the law is very clear that schools are able to retain their own ethos. And sometimes that can cause a problem because it might mean that young people aren't getting the same curriculum depending on where they are in the country. I suppose the other piece, as I understand it, is, as Alan is saying, that the focus will be more on the human personality and still focus on inclusiveness. So I think that that's very important, because I know for the young people, particularly the LGBT young people in our education system, they're one of the groups that are most likely to experience bullying and discrimination, both from teachers and from students. And I suppose that's why the curriculums, you know, at different levels are being amended to include the formation of sexual orientation and gender identity, to really to introduce the topic and to actually ask people to respect people and support people. That's what's coming through. That's the ethos coming through on the curriculum. And I really do hope that it is taught throughout the country in the same way. But it is something that comes back consistently from young people, is that their experience of what they of the curriculum does change depending on what school they're in. Mm. And I don't think the introduction of the SPHE curriculum is going to change that. That's probably for, you know, a national debate and discussion on the future of education, and maybe a citizens' assembly to look at how curriculum is taught in schools directly.
Well, it's a really interesting discussion. We're going to have to come back to it, because it's long and complex and there's so much more in it. But thank you both very much for joining us. Really interested to hear from our listeners on this as well, to 51551. That's Alan Hines of the Catholic Education Partnership and Tanya Ward of the Children's Rights Alliance. Thank you both.